So now I have both of our guests here on the sofa. Gosh. And or is it a Davenport or what? I don't know.
Davenport.
So I want to ask you guys, we have a connection here with the Old Town School of Folk Music. We have a teacher and a student. Mm-hmm. So let me ask you, when did you start teaching over at Old Town?
February of this year.
Okay.
So I'm new.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And primarily teaching bass?
Guitar. Actually.
Teaching guitar. Mm-hmm. Okay. Teaching bass.
Yeah. Next semester, I hope to start a class called the Soul of R&B.
Okay.
And so that would be focusing on bass guitar from the standpoint of Record Row.
Okay.
Basically, all the stuff from not Stax. I'm talking VJ and Brunswick and those labels.
Stuff from guys from here.
Right, from Chicago.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just listening to another podcast, and they were talking about how the bass player for Sly's band, Sly and the Family Stone.
Oh, Larry
Graham. Yeah, he came up with the pop and the thump. That was his invention.
Yeah.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay.
He's the internationally recognized father of that.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Okay. Very cool. That was something I didn't know, and I learned. That was wonderful.
Yeah.
You learn something new every day.
Sure.
And so you were a student at Old Town, and what were you learning in?
I was learning fiddle.
Fiddle. Yeah. Okay.
I started about 5 years ago with Brandy Barry Benson, and then we worked together in person until the pandemic started, and then we had to go to Zoom for a year or so. And then I kind of hung back a little bit, and then I came back and started taking private lessons with Sean College. And now I'm taking a group class with him. Mm. We're learning like Appalachian, mm-hmm. like Irish fiddle tunes and stuff. And it's interesting to work with a group too.
Okay.
Because up until then, it's been all private lessons. Because mm-hmm. I wanted to work on my form and technical stuff and all that. And now I just want to play with people. And it's very different. You know, playing with a group, it kind of just forces you to not fall off the horse. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And you just got to stay on there. And it's great practice.
Yeah. Yeah. I was playing with this world-class mandolin player, and I always had just in my mind, just keep your meter, but I'd watch him play, and I was like, no, focus here, because he's pulling off these riffs. I'm like, oh, how are you doing that?
Yeah,
no, focus on what you got to do and keep a rhythm for him so he can go and do that stuff.
Yeah, yeah. So true.
But I got to ask you, Bear, usually great players have a tough time coaching. Like, I can never see Michael Jordan coaching a team.
right,
or LeBron, or, you know.
Yeah.
So how do you do it? How do you, you know, how's your patience level for it?
Good question. I'm just a patient person by nature.
Okay.
So I think I kind of just fell into it naturally. Same thing. I started teaching online during the pandemic.
Okay.
Through a platform called Lesson Face out of New York. And very, very, very cool platform. And so I just realized I had been teaching off and on. Guys would come up and say, hey, man, can I study with you, whatever. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of off and on-ish, one-on-one for some years.
Mm-hmm.
But it never really took. You know, it wasn't something that I was focused on.
Right.
You know, pandemic made you forced you to focus.
Absolutely.
And it also made me realize, boy, this is kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
I enjoy this.
Yeah.
I enjoy seeing the light come on.
Right.
With students and say, I did this with, their first time actually playing with a group,
mm-hmm.
and coming back and saying, it went great, da-da-da-da-da, you taught me this, you know.
Yeah.
Telling one of my students, he's got their first, he was formerly a baritone sax player. Now he's gravitated, he's mm-hmm. gone over to bass. I think we've been together for now almost 3 years.
Wow.
On lessons, and he lives in Cincinnati. Formerly, he's born and raised in Chicago, but lives in Cincinnati. And he was telling me the band that he's with now, which is I'll just call them a country rock band.
Mm-hmm.
They're really, the really intense country rock.
Sure, sure.
He got with them, and they dig what he's doing, and they have their first gigs coming up.
Oh, outstanding.
And so I was telling him, he was so excited about it. I said, he was like, do you have any do you have any advice for me? And I said, yeah. Mm-hmm. Make sure that your guitar, that your bass amp is not overpowering the stage.
Yeah.
So that your front of house guy will love you. Mm-hmm. Basically. And he was like, oh my God, I'm so glad you said that.
I didn't even think
you
of
know,
that.
He had, yeah, he's like, I hadn't thought about it. I said, yeah, no, if you make sure that your monitor and your bass amp is comfortable for you, mm-hmm. you know, and you can hear everything around you, but you want your front of house guy happy to be able to mix everything without having bass coming off the stage right. randomly.
Yeah, yeah.
Such
you
know. Good advice.
No, yeah. You know, so he was like, man, that is awesome. Thank you so much. Okay. You know, so it's great to have that feedback. And then with folk Old Town School, you know, being in the room with all of the, mm-hmm. you know, the guitar players who are mostly adults, you know,
right.
some young adults, but then, you know, older adults. Again, it's great to see them having fun playing mm-hmm. playing the instrument and just the light bulbs coming on. It's like, you know, and so a lot of them are being introduced to theory for the very first time.
Right.
You know, I mean, they learn the chords, mm-hmm. but I want them to learn
circle of fifths, and
I want them to learn what's behind all of that.
Yeah, sure.
And so it's you know, some of them it's what? What's that? You know, I said I'm not gonna get too heavy on it, but we want to try to cover some of that so that you
right.
you know you can be comfortable in any situation. You don't just want to be randomly out there. You right. know, so
yeah, this isn't rocket surgery, right?
So yeah. You know,
so feels like it sometimes.
It can.
Excellent. Yeah. And so Lee, you said you book Reverie Stone,
yeah.
and I was gonna ask you. Any tips you can give us for booking bands?
Oh my God. Well, gosh. For me, I'm just relentless. That's all. I'm relentless, and mm-hmm. it can be bad maybe, but it's worked for me.
Okay.
It's like I introduce myself and then I just keep on going. I mean, I do give them a break, but you know.
Is this via email or face to face?
I usually do email.
Okay.
And sometimes now I'm starting to call on the phone, which mm-hmm. I'm finding is better because people just get inundated with emails.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But for a long time, email worked, you know.
Okay. So do you have, now, can you tell me a little bit step by step of, okay, you target a venue mm-hmm. and then you go there and have a beer and.
Sometimes I already know what the venue is.
Okay.
Or I just know it's going to be great or whatever. But yeah, sometimes I do a reconnaissance visit or whatever, you mm-hmm. know, just to see what it's like. And then if it looks good and if I actually get to talk to somebody, great. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then I'll just send them an email introducing myself and kind of telling them about us and try to hit all the points and not say too much because mm-hmm. they don't have much time to read everything
right.
anyway.
Right. Yeah.
And then just give them links so they can see videos and stuff because, right. you know, we're a cover band, so we mm-hmm. don't really have any original recordings. So it's really important that they can see what we sound like and stuff.
Right.
And so that's it, you know.
Right. And do you send them material? Like, do you have like a bio sheet and things like that? Or
no, I usually just do everything electronically, and mm-hmm. I just have links.
Okay.
We have a lot of videos on YouTube, so okay. and I figure they can just go on there and click on what they want.
Yeah. Okay. Because Bear, I saw online you have an EPK. Sorry,
right.
that's hard for me to say.
yeah.
And so now, is that how you go about getting the gigs? You just pass it along?
Oh, me?
Yeah, yeah.
oh, who, me?
Yeah, yeah.
yeah. I will send mm-hmm. we will send the EPK link. That, you know, that links
right.
to the website, which is that page.
Right, which is performance on there, and there's a listing of your pedigree also mm-hmm. of who you've played with. And,
right, yeah. So that's probably the, mm-hmm. you know, that's our way. But okay. she's absolutely right. The link thing works. They actually request that a lot.
Okay.
Because they don't have a lot of time.
True.
You know,
absolutely.
And so they just want to be able to click on something and go
and
to
there it.
It
goes. I can listen to it.
Right. And, right. Right. Exactly.
Yeah. Because I remember in the old days, you send them a cassette and a picture and a bio.
Exactly.
And usually it was, oh.
Yeah.
Right into the circular file.
Truly. Yeah. Truly.
Or years ago, I worked at a bar in the Loop called Traffic Jam, mm-hmm. and we used to get inundated with cassettes.
Oh,
and
sure.
Since I was the junior sound engineer, Here's a box of tapes. Go through. Really? Oh my God. So oh, man. That was, I'm telling you, from being on both ends is not fun.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, I gotta ask. So, can you tell us what are some of the venues you play around in Chicago?
You want to go first?
Sure. We've done Rose's Lounge.
Okay.
We've done Navy Pier. We've done a couple of the steakhouses down in the Loop area, Magnificent Mile.
Mm-hmm.
Rose's Lounge.
Right. You said Navy Pier. Is that on the Windy the ship or
no?
Down
on the end they have the beer garden.
Oh yeah yeah okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
cool. Yeah, we've done that in the summer. Which is a cool venue. Well,
fun,
to get back there. We haven't been there in a while. Rose's Lounge.
Can I ask you one more question? When you're playing that with all the open air and how do you stay focused? Because I there's times I've played gigs like that and I just and I'm a front man. I'm lead singer and I just like, wow, that's cool. Look at that.
That's hilarious.
Oh, cool. Next thing you know, the band's moved on to a different chord progression. Yeah. Still,
that's funny.
How do you keep it?
View. I mean, usually the beer garden, there's, if you're doing it on a good night, there's a lot of people.
Sure.
So generally I'm focused down
in
front of me and not, because if you do look out there,
that lake goes on forever and you're just like, oh, I can see Michigan from here.
Yeah, so I'm usually looking down at the people. So,
okay.
But let's see, what other places? Buddy Guys, Legends, we played.
When you play there, Buddy's known to step up and hang with the band.
Yes.
Have you had that experience?
Yes, I have.
And
okay, more than a few times.
Oh, okay.
we're proud to say more than a few times he's come up and jammed with us, and it's been from the first time to the last time. It's always hilarious because the guy is so funny.
Yeah,
he's so funny and he does his shtick.
I was just about to say that.
He does his blues shtick. And
right.
It's hilarious, and the people love it. Mm-hmm. And he comes up and he's like, "I'm sorry to disrupt y'all's show," but I'm like, like, no, you're fine because the tips are gonna go up.
Right.
Yeah, exactly.
And also the clicks online is like, oh, Buddy played with these guys.
Right, exactly. Trust me. Yeah. You know, it's because as soon as he mentions the tip jar, it's does look. But it's fun. So there's been a few other places too. Johnny's Blitz up in Westmont.
Right.
We've done. What's the other spot that I was thinking? Of course, Epiphany Center and WIM. I do a solo show over at WIM on Belmont.
Okay. Did I see the Botanical Gardens too?
Yeah, we're doing that. We've done that. We did that last summer. We're doing it this summer, the 22nd of July.
Oh, wow. Yeah. That's coming up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Nice. And so, Lee, how about you? And let's first ask, where does Honey Bee 3 play?
Oh, we play at a lot of... we play at a lot of nursing homes and retirement centers.
All right.
It's kind of a thing that I didn't realize is just sort of a gold mine.
It is.
I mean,
sure.
Because older people need to have good entertainment, and they deserve it.
They don't really get out much anymore, so as the song goes.
Exactly. Yeah. So we do play at Mather in Glenview, Radcliffe, Asbury Courts, and they just kind of go all over the place. Some are actual nursing homes, and some are really high-end retirement homes and stuff. We also played at the Ravenswood Tavern, which is really fun. And we used to play at Lizard's Liquid Lounge and things like that.
Okay.
And we had a gig at North Men, but it was rained out. So.
Oh, that's good. I like that place.
I love that place. Talk about being distracted. I mean, if you're right there on the river and the boat goes by. And
sure. Boats weren't so bad. The fire trucks
once
in a while will pass by. And
it can get noisy.
Yeah.
That's like my solo gig at Epiphany if I'm out in the courtyard, which is a beautiful venue.
It is.
You know, but Ashland Avenue at 201 South.
Oh yeah.
you're playing a ballad and it's like, oh, okay. All right, guys.
Ouch.
Yeah.
There's a I said barbecue place out in Lamont that's right next to the Metro tracks.
Oh,
and your back is literally if you take five steps back, you're on the tracks.
Oh my gosh!
And you're in the middle of a song, I'll say ding 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 ding, and just step away from the microphone, vamp on a chord.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow. Whose idea was it to put a stage there?
Well, no, man. Jeez. Wow.
But yeah.
Okay, let's say we're to shift gears here. I got a couple of quotes, and I wanted to ask you guys, since a couple of quotes on blues music that I wanted to throw at you guys and see if you agree, disagree. Mm-hmm. So, and they're from varied musicians, all from, I guess they're from the 60s. Mm-hmm. First one I'm going to say is, pop music is aspirin and the blues are vitamins.
Oh
wow.
And that's from, oddly enough, Peter Tork.
From the Monkees.
Really? Yes.
Yeah, the late, great Peter Tork.
Wow. Well, yeah, I mean, I could tend to agree with that.
Okay.
In certain contexts, sure. I mean, in certain contexts, you know, pop music has its merits, has its values.
Yeah.
There's a lot of great stories in pop music as well.
Right.
You know, which, and I mean, the blues is stories, just like country music is stories.
Sure.
You know, country and folk music is about stories.
Yeah.
So.
But I like the aspect of pop music is healing. It's aspirin.
Yeah.
Mm. So it's like, you know, you can listen to a song, I was having such a bad day, and then all of a sudden, oh my God, you know, Heroes by David Bowie. But then, you know, listen to the blues, and I was like, okay, I'm building up my tolerance. The vitamins are helping me out here. So I really like that one. That one kind of jumped out at me.
Yeah, that's cool. Never heard that.
One thing the blues ain't is funny. Stephen Stills, who I don't think has a good sense of humor.
He doesn't have a sense of humor.
No.
I understand.
So I don't think anything is funny to that guy, right?
Right.
That's hilarious. I did meet him once.
Okay.
And it wasn't funny.
Okay, so, fair enough.
Yeah, I can see that.
He strikes me as a very serious guy.
He was.
I guess you got to keep up that stern face if you're around Crosby so much. You know?
Right.
Okay. But blues can be really funny. There's a lot of funny blues tunes. Right?
Oh, yeah.
Is it Albert Iceman Collins, I Ain't Drunk, I'm Just Drinking?
Yeah.
Right. We were playing Buddy Guys once, and the great Lindsay Alexander got up on the stage with us. And he sang one of his hit songs, and I'll just say, it's hilarious, but it mortified all the women in the play. And I'm not going to say what it's called.
All right,
it's not, you know, most of your fans that know Lindsay Alexander know what I'm talking about, but we were all like. But it was howling hilarious, but it was just like I know, because Dee was singing, my wife Dee and my bonus daughter Dana were singing with us, and so they were mortified.
And they were still singing.
Yeah, right. So the rest of us were cracking up. Okay.
That's awesome. And the last one I want to throw at you is, the blues is easy to play but hard to feel. And that's from Jimmy.
Hard to feel, huh?
Yeah.
Because I kind of thought that was... what precipitated it, you know,
the feeling is the blues.
Right.
Hard to feel. Yeah. I mean, I guess, yeah, if you can play a 1-4-5, that's fine. But, but to feel what's behind that's a whole nother ball of wax to have lived that.
Right.
And have to relive it every time you play it.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. You know, cause it's coming from, you know, where I come from, you know, but my family life was not poverty. You know, it was very poor before I was born, I was told. But when my aunt got a hold of us and brought us into, you know, it was more of a middle class upbringing.
Okay.
So here I am playing the blues, you know, with that upbringing. So I look at people like, you know, Muddy Waters and Howlin' right. Wolf and Son House, who sure. lived
yeah, yeah.
all of that,
mm-hmm. right.
you know. And so for me, when I strap on the, you know, guitar, Elmore James, people like mm-hmm. that, I do try to channel a little bit of what's going on there.
Sure.
You know, to give it that authenticity, because I didn't have that.
Right.
You know,
right.
You know, fortunately for myself, I didn't have that, but I can sympathize and empathize with that, mm-hmm. with those stories.
Sure, so, absolutely. So in country, he also has a lot of depth.
Oh yeah.
And,
oh,
absolutely. And, oh, yeah. And there is country blues. That is a thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, love, it's universal. It's, you know, you got Love Lost and Loneliness. Mm-hmm. All that stuff.
That's universal.
Everybody's been through that.
Sure.
So.
Yeah, sure. Heartache is universal.
Yeah.
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 Absolutely. Yeah. I want to ask you also before we get too far away from this. You run a record label too.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. GVR was the label that was started with myself and a partner of mine in California, Keith Reese. Mm-hmm. And it started out as a vehicle for soul R&B artists, and it ended up being what it is now, which is we're in the middle of trying to morph it into a more of a media company.
Okay.
You know, we're still bouncing things around how to do that, because there just wasn't the we can distribute anything,
right?
We can promote nothing because we don't have promotion dollars.
Okay,
we have the distribution channel mm-hmm. through you know, because we're distributed through InGrooves / it was we were through Universal, but now Universal has been bought by Virgin.
Okay.
So yeah, so the whole thing is, so it's InGrooves, which is Virgin. So we have the channels. We can get you in any place.
Right.
But we don't have the dollars. And that was the main thing, and that's always the main thing with an indie label. We don't
right.
You know, dollars to promote. So mm-hmm. So it became a vehicle for me to get my stuff out.
Okay.
You know, which is why I'm on Spotify
sure,
and all that
right,
other
right.
fun stuff. So, yeah.
So, and yeah. Lee, you said you wrote songs. Do you ever get a chance to play them and put them out in the world?
I did write a lot of songs in my mid-20s.
Okay.
And that was in my 20s. And so now it's like really hard to revisit that because I'm just...
Right.
It's such a long time. Mm. And I would definitely say that writing is in our future, but
okay.
just not at the moment. But mm. I am writing my own stuff every day. And
wow. Okay.
I mean, not necessarily songs, just writing in general.
Sure. But that's the process. The process
exactly.
is...
And so I'm hoping that... At some point, it's going to right. morph into.
Mm-hmm. Right. I always point people to. I'm sure this clip. There's a clip on YouTube, but it's in the Get Back documentary that yeah. came out. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. it's 9 hours long, and it's. If you're a musician, it's like sitting through band practice. But there's a clip of Paul McCartney coming in, and knowing that they got this project due, they need an up-tempo number. Simple that the other guys can learn right away, mm. and he's hacking away,
yeah.
and you're watching him write Get Back,
that's
and
lot,
he's
that's
just strumming on the bass and he's humming the melody and I'm like, I know where this is going. I know he's going. No, Paul, no, don't go to that. Go that way. Go that way. And mm-hmm. and then at some point they're talking about, hey, is Tucson in Arizona?
Yeah.
And then Paul says, yeah, because that's where they filmed the High Chaparral.
Oh, wow.
Like, awesome. It's on YouTube. Look for it, because it's unbelievable.
I will.
Cause, awesome. And the others are sitting there watching them, and you're watching this happen. And that's
yeah.
and I tell people, that's how songs are written.
Yeah.
You know, you don't sit there and wait, oh, it's going to wait
right.
for the lightning
no,
bolt. No, you sit there and you grab your instrument and you bang yeah. on it and yeah. make something come out.
Yeah. And I would imagine that you, like somebody like Paul McCartney was in a groove at that point.
Oh, yeah.
You
know, they call that Paul's purple period.
Yeah.
Where from like 66 to 70,
right.
he was just cranking
just
songs
all
out.
The time.
And giving songs away. And
yeah. And I would think that it would be easier to be able to just pen a song at that point.
Mm-hmm.
And, but the other thing is, my life is so different now.
True.
You know, and
yeah, but you can bring that perspective of being in a different place now.
But I definitely don't feel the angst that I felt. So,
I'm sure there's a different version of it there somewhere. So.
Different angst.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Yeah. 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 Great, well, great. That's where my the song This is America.
Yeah. I heard that one. Okay. Yes, I have. Yeah.
You could tell I was a little bit angry.
Sure. Yeah. I think
that came out during the old George Floyd thing, mm-hmm. pandemic.
Yeah, sure.
And I'll never forget that. I mean, I just went in the room. I just remember going in the studio and closing the door and not coming out until that came out. Till that was done. This is America.
Right.
Everything we're looking at on television, it was just, mm-hmm. And it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't funny, it wasn't pretty.
Right.
But for me at that moment, it was real. So,
right, yeah. Sure. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, inspiration can and ideas can come from anywhere, but you got to put that instrument in front of you and you got to mm-hmm. work mm-hmm. it to make it yep. come out, to realize
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So I got a few questions that I like to ask at the end of the interview, and since I got you here, we're going to do a one.
Okay.
Tell me your musical Mount Rushmore. You get four people, other people have put actors on there as well, so you can do that. So, ladies first.
Oh my God! Well, shoot, that's Bear Williams, of course.
Okay.
Oh. I wasn't looking for that, but thank you.
No, I was gonna say Emmylou Harris, man.
Okay.
She just—I love her.
Okay.
And I love the way she
fantastic
music and her singing and her harmonies and everything just is so inspiring. So.
Okay, Bear.
Sun House.
Oh wow! Ah. Okay.
Sun House. Yeah.
Because.
I mean, we know why. If you hear him singing, just if you go on YouTube and watch him emote John the Revelator.
Okay.
That was it for me. I was like, what is this? Is coming from down somewhere else. Yeah. And it's out of time and it's not perfect, but boy, is it emotional.
Right.
And so for me, he's one of the top. Yeah.
Okay.
For me.
Mm-hmm. It's number two.
Oh, God. This is a lot of pressure.
Yeah, no, we're having fun.
Okay, well, I mean, I would say, God, there's so many, but probably Alison Krauss is another one.
Okay,
that
also
I would
outstanding.
Have up there.
Yeah.
I find her incredibly talented, mm-hmm. beautiful voice, and beautiful fiddling.
Right.
And
love the stuff she did with Robert Plant too.
Yeah.
It was
amazing.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Wonderful stuff.
And I mean, I know I'm kind of sticking to the same sort of genre.
No, that's fine. It's so your much. Mount Rushmore.
That's right. This is yours.
Yeah.
It's your mountain.
You could have four of the same, similar.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Bear number two.
Oh gosh. I'm going to say probably going to stick with the blues as well, and just go Elmore James.
Okay,
he's one. Mm-hmm. His slide stuff and his delivery, kind of the no holds barred thing.
Mm-hmm.
It just did it for me. I just resonate with what he did and what I hear from him. So yeah, he's one of those.
Excellent. Mm-hmm. Number three,
Pete Townsend.
Okay, wow. Okay, we're going left field.
Yeah,
all right,
totally left
sure.
Left field.
Okay,
that's just one of the first like rhythm and blues, especially out of England. Just was something that resonated with me as a child, all the way through my adult life, and I really love the Who.
Any songs in particular that?
A lot of the songs off Quadrophenia, were some of my favorites.
Mm.
Some
Love Rain Orbeez.
Some great bass playing on that album too.
Yeah. Oh my God, he had a good band.
Well, the Who were the first, or not the first, but four lead players in one band.
Yeah,
lead drums, lead guitar, lead bass, lead vocals. Yeah.
How they made it work.
That's a lot of angst and a lot of.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Just a quick sidelight. Mm-hmm. When NAMM Show was still here in Chicago.
Yeah.
I actually did get to meet Entwistle when he was still alive.
Really? Okay.
He was doing an exhibit. I can't remember for what it might have been Alembic or something, but
yeah,
he was like right there.
Wow.
And I'm just like, this cat is just
Yeah.
There's a video online.
Amazing.
I think it's a video line of him isolated video of him playing Won't Get Fooled Again.
Uh-huh.
And it's just
wow.
And it's like jaw dropping to watch him do
amazing.
That.
He was.
Okay, Barry, you're up for number three.
Okay, I'm going to go left field now too.
All right.
In a way, Mark Knopfler.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
His
innovative.
Very innovative. If you sit and listen to him speak about his knowledge of blues and the blues sensibilities that he brings to. Mm-hmm. You know, his ideas, I mean, for money for nothing, forget it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's just, what? Yeah. What did you do? How did you do that? It's like, you're muting it and making it.
It's amazing.
Just a dream. I mean, but his songwriting is just primo. It's just really great. Really great. So I really like him.
Okay.
Really like
you. Mm-hmm. And number four.
Oh, God. Well, you know, I'm a singer, and so I'm just going to go all singing. And Linda Ronstadt is another one.
Now. Yeah.
And you know, it's funny. She doesn't write her own stuff. She's another one of those people who just
she's an interpreter.
Reinterprets everybody else in a way that
been some amazing interpreters through the years. So
and her voice is just fantastic. So it's really sad what's happening to her.
Yeah, it is.
But I would say those are my...
Okay. Mm-hmm. And that she had that the trio record, I guess it was her and Emmylou.
Dolly and Emily.
Yeah.
Emmylou.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, that's a great record.
They sang beautifully together.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Man. And Bear, number four.
Oh, gosh. Yeah, this is hard.
Yeah, it's hard.
But well, to be put on the spot. As soon as we shut off the camera and the microphone, and this guy and this girl and this one and this one and this one.
Yeah, I'm gonna say for his choice of lyric, his choice of melody and harmony, Sting.
Yeah.
Oh, whoa,
okay.
Yeah.
Also a bass player.
Yeah.
A frontman bass player.
Yeah. Yeah. He just. Having the grandchildren, you're forced to watch Disney, right?
Yeah,
and I had not seen The Emperor's New Groove.
Okay,
up until probably a couple of months ago, but Sting has a song in the end of that movie that really sums up the entire movie, and it's called "My Funny Friend and Me," and I had never heard it before, but boy, is this an incredible, just harmonically and vocally, and just wow, man! How do you come up with these melodies, man? They're just great. They're great. But his lyrical content in this thing, it's a synopsis of this pompous king who meets a pauper, and the pauper has to help the king get back to the kingdom because someone's trying to take the kingdom from the pompous king. He turns into a llama. Right.
right.
And it's the whole thing. It's the whole relationship of them becoming friends.
Right.
And the king realizing that I don't have to act like this.
Yeah.
I can be human.
Mm-hmm.
And I can love this guy because he's helped me. And I can love his family. It's really beautiful.
Okay.
Really beautiful. Yeah, but my funny friend and me.
It's awesome.
Cool. Yeah.
And, okay, so now I've got just a couple Chicago questions. best building to see the skyline, tall building.
Oh, shoot.
Sears Tower or Hancock?
Oh. It's been such a long time. I mean, I would guess the Sears Tower because it's...
Because nobody calls it the Willis Tower, but the Sears Tower, right?
I still can't, you know? And,
yeah.
But, I mean, it's the tallest one, so you get great views. And
Bear?
Sears Tower.
Okay.
Because I think they've extended that platform out there for us.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's even further out now, so it's like... Yeah.
And will I be going there? No.
I know, yeah.
Have you seen the carnival ride on the Hancock building, though? They've got...
No.
You step onto a platform.
Uh-huh.
You hold onto these railings. 3, 2, 1, go. And they lower you at a 45 degree angle.
Oh my.
While you're holding on, looking up.
Oh no! Yeah. Oh, I won't be doing that.
Wow.
It was bad enough getting me to go out on the plexiglass platform. Right. That was enough. But
I usually walk on the dividers and
yeah. just so you can feel
I'm not
like
stepping on that glass.
Ooh, yeah.
Go to place for pizza.
Mm.
Well, my neighborhood pizza place is the best.
Okay, which is? You want to give them a plug?
It's La Villa.
Okay.
By Pulaski. It is so good.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
No, my place is on 63rd and Hamlin. It's Palermo's Pizza. So.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right. Yeah. Good to know.
Yeah, we've got a spot out in Romeoville. That's a nice pizza.
That's a nice.
That's a nice.
That's a little Chico Marks.
I know, right? That's a
buy
nice
a duck,
pizza.
Buy not a chicken.
Yeah, it's really cool. They have a great deep dish, and
all right.
as well as flat.
Right, right. Know, the tavern style.
Thin crust. Yeah. It's cool. And they offer gluten-free, which my wife
that's
has.
Nice.
So, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, and the last one I got to ask for you guys, pick a number between 1 and 10.
4.
Would you rather read minds or make yourself invisible?
Oh, God. I've had this conversation with my husband.
Okay, so easy question.
I think I'd rather be invisible.
Okay, why?
Why? Mm-hmm. I don't want to know what's on everyone's minds.
Okay, so you can make yourself invisible.
Yeah, okay. And then, you know, I could go where I want
to
go.
Well, it's easy to easy to back out of rooms then, too, that you don't want to be in.
Yeah, sounds good to me.
All right. 1 to 10, excluding 4.
8.
Would you rather have the same song stuck in your head forever or have the same exact dream every night?
I'd rather have the song.
Okay.
Really?
Yeah, I think. Yeah, I mean, both of those are a living hell.
Yes.
I think yeah, because it's funny because I threw there was what song was it? I threw it out of my head.
Yeah,
I purposely threw it. It was something the other day. One of the kids' songs,
mm-hmm.
one of my grandkids' songs, and it was just like on a
not
playback
sure.
loop.
Earworm,
I'm like, stop,
sure.
stop, mm-hmm. stop.
Yeah.
You know, so I made it get out of my head.
Right.
But I guess I don't know if I want the same dream every night. I'll go with the song.
It's okay.
Yeah, I'll go with the song,
well,
man.
The way to get rid of those earworms is you have to play the song in your head to its end.
Seriously?
Yes. Yeah. So if you've got a song running like, you know, I don't want to mention any, mm-hmm. but, you know, one that's just this melody over and over. If you play it over in your head and get it, okay, chorus 1, chorus 2, then, it usually will
just
get out of your head.
It out of its system.
Okay.
Yeah, usually.
I'll try that for real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Nice.
All right.
Thank you.
So, guys, let me ask you first off, Lee, where can we find you on the internet? What do you want to plug? Do you have anything to plug?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're going to be playing at the DuPage County Fair on July 28th, and that's in Wheaton. So, if you're in Chicago, you could come see us. Oh, sorry. The DuPage County Fair show is Sunday, July 28th.
Okay.
And then August 16th, which is a Friday, we're going to play at the Northman on the Riverwalk.
Okay. Weather permitting, of
course.
Weather permitting.
Yeah.
All
so
right.
That'll be fun.
Fantastic. And that's both with Reverie? Or
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And any Honeybee 3 shows coming up?
We are playing in August at Ravenswood Tavern.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
That's
I can't
right.
remember the actual date. So,
okay, no worries. Okay, we can check it online.
I think it's the 24th or the 25th.
So. All right. And Bear, where are we going to find you?
I'm pulling it up.
Okay, no worries.
I'm pulling it up. I figure we're all friends here.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, while you're pulling it up, yes. Can I ask you, have you seen the show The Bear?
Yes. We just finished this last season.
Yeah, I'm still in the middle of it.
No, I didn't.
It's really tense.
Yeah, this one's a little bit of a hard get through. And too many close-ups.
Yeah. Yes, lots of close-ups.
Oh,
and
gosh.
Lots of cuts.
Yeah.
Cut.
Yeah. No, I didn't see that. Okay. So, we've got tour. Come on.
Oh, okay.
Okay. July 20th, Bear Williams Trio will be at Nick's Beer Garden in Chicago on Milwaukee.
Right.
July 22nd, Bear Williams Band will be at the Botanical Garden in Glencoe.
Okay.
And the 26th will be at Free Blues Friday at Epiphany Center for the Arts.
Oh, very nice.
Yeah, July 26th.
Okay, yep. And then Barry, you have your albums are on Spotify and all other places that can be found, Apple Music and
YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Barry Williams.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, outstanding. Okay, well, thank guys, you. Thank you so much. This was
thank
a lot of fun.
You.
It's been hilarious. Thank you so much. It's been a great time.
Cheers.
Thank you, guys.
It's lovely.
Yes, indeed.